Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vance, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I'll discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. Well, I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat. Is this a fruit bat free program? You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, hello, everyone out there. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into this show, call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and discuss anything that I talk about on the show today, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate character assassinations, excessive profanity, trolling, ad hominem attacks. If you feel like you want to engage in those type of activities, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just, be respectful in what you have in your interactions on this show. And it should be, and everything should go well with you. Okay, so. Well, some of you all might be listening to this right now or whatever in the archives live or whatever. You might be like, well, Vincent, where were you at last week? Well, last week I had a sudden emergency come up. My wife came down with COVID. And it was Thursday of last week. I had come in from work, and on Thursdays I go out and do the laundry. And I came in, and my wife said, honey, I'm not feeling too well. And so we went to bed that night, and she woke up the next day. She was burning up with fever, and I told her, I said, I'm going to go to the job. I'm going to call and see how you're doing, and then I'm going to take you to the emergency, take her to urgent care. And let me get that. But when I went to work, I started getting a headache, a splitting headache. I just barely made it through the workday. And I don't know if that was related to the COVID or whatever, but that was the only symptom I had, was a migraine. And got home, and I was pretty much out of it. When I got home, I was in my apartment's parking lot for about an hour and a half. And here comes my wife, you know, she's sick. And she comes out, she's like, honey, I got to get you out of here because, you know, you're too heavy, you know. And I was like, I can't move. I felt like I was paralyzed. But she finally got me out and everything. I got into the apartment, rested up a bit, and got up. And I still wasn't feeling well. but my wife was still sick too. And I said, you know what, we're going to take her to this urgent care. And, you know, and I wasn't thinking it was going to be anything, because my wife and I had caught COVID back in December of 2020. And this one didn't seem as rough as that first time, that first go round. And we went to the urgent care. They, you know, shoved the big old Q-tip or whatever that is up her nose. She wasn't a fan of that, and I can understand why. And about 20 minutes later, you know, they called her back in and said, you got COVID. You tested positive for COVID. I'm sitting there like, what? I was like, you know, because it didn't seem as harsh as the first time. And so they believe she caught the Omicron version of the COVID. But she's okay. You know, she took it like a champ. She really did. She did a lot of coughing, had a lot of night sweats. And but she's okay. You know, she's good. And I had to shut her down, because my wife is the type of person. She's all about keeping everything in order. She's all about keeping everything clean and whatever, you know. She's got the heart of a housewife, let me say that. And I know that might offend some people. Oh, the housewife, you know. No, but she has the heart of a housewife. And if she sees something that needs cleaning, she's going to drop everything and just clean. And I've been married to this woman for 17 years, and I can tell you, even when she's sick, she's going to clean. And so I had to shut her down, because I was like, honey, look, I don't want you doing anything. I'll cook, I'll clean, I'll do whatever. But I just want you to get your rest. Wait a minute. Let me get this. Hello. Someone's calling me. I don't know why they're calling me, because I'm doing a show right now, but let me see here. Hold on with me. Bear with me, folks.
Hello?
Hey, you just called me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, you call me at a bad time. I'm doing my radio program right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, can you call me once you're done?
Yeah, it'll be about 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to move it for you.
Oh, okay.
I think you're going to love this.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right, I'll talk to you then. Yeah, that's my best friend Nathan in Greensboro. He was calling, you know, I guess he's calling me. We have what we call these Siskel and Ebert moments, you know, because he and I we share different opinions about certain things. You know, something might come up and we say, well, what do you think about this and what do you think about that, and you know, and it's like, you know, well, whatever, but yeah, we'll deal with that. But anyway, let me see what I got here. Okay, let me shut this off, because I don't want any more interruptions to the program. But like I was saying, my wife had caught COVID, and I was kind of ticked off about it, well, the doctor said, well, you know, because she got COVID, you know, sir, you're going to have to sleep in the living rooms. You're going to have, you know, y'all going to have to sleep in separate bedrooms and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, well, you know, it wasn't that bad or anything like that. And the thought of me not sleeping in the same bedroom with my wife simply because she's sick, it doesn't sit right with me. And I said, no, me and my wife, we slept together and everything. I didn't catch anything. I didn't catch a thing. And but I got my vaccinations and whatever, and I'm not too confident about the vaccinations. You know, the CDC just came out with the with a report, darn sporting of them, that, you know, people who catch the virus, the COVID-19 virus, they're better off than people who get the vaccination. We've been saying that for, you know, almost 2 years now, but they kept saying, oh, this is a y'all conspiracy theorists and all that crazy mess. But now the CDC, they done put out that report and said, you know, hey, you're better off, you know, just catching it and not getting the vaccination. I'm like, well, darn sporting of you. And, you know, I had to get it because I had to keep my job. And some people are like, no, don't get it. You know, lose your job. No, I can't lose my job. I got bills to pay. And so I had to get it. And folks, don't get me wrong. Let me discuss something with you. I am not an anti-vaxxer. If you want to get it, that's fine. I'm not going around saying, no, stop the vaccinations. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if a person feels confident that about their body and they can make the decisions that are best for their bodies, then that should be their decision. I mean, we say that when a woman wants to commit an abortion, right? Her body, her choice. Well, when it comes to getting that vaccination, it should be our bodies, our choice. No, you're putting everybody else in danger and all that. Man, get out of here with that. But yeah, the CDC, they put out a special report saying, hey, you know, check it out. I guess the conspiracy theorists were right. It is best for a person to catch the virus. People who catch the virus without the vaccination, they do better than the people who get the vaccinations. But I didn't mean to go off on that tangent, but that was just something I learned recently. But my wife and I, you know, I haven't caught it. My wife is doing fine. She still got the little cough and everything. She talked about the night sweats. At nighttime, she would break out into a sweat and whatever, but she's doing fine. And I come in to my job on Monday. I work at a warehouse for UNC Healthcare. And I come in, you know, get everything laid out, you know, get everything prepared for the day. And I just happen to look up like, oh, my boss is not here. Found out he got exposed to COVID. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And you know, he called me and he didn't sound good. He did not sound good. You know, he said he wasn't sure, but he had been exposed to COVID. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, he probably got it, you know. But the doctor, when I went to take my wife to urgent care, he told me I would have to get, you know, tested, be sure that I'm not asymptomatic, because there's a possibility that I could have passed this on to my wife without, you know, me knowing it. And the thing that made me mad was they kept pushing us to get these vaccines, get the vaccine, you know, protect yourself, protect others. But they're telling me to stay away from my wife. They're telling me I need to get, you know, be sure I'm not asymptomatic. But I got the vaccine. And I'm like, well, what was the use of me getting the vaccine in the first place? I'm having to take the same precautions that I did without the vaccine. And I'm like, well, ain't this a rip? So I had to get a test on Thursday. I was supposed to get it Wednesday, but, you know, nobody was testing that day. So I had to do it on Thursday, and I had to do the, I went through the drive-thru at a Walmart, and they had to do the cotton swab of your nose. That's not a very pleasant feeling. But the results haven't come back, you know, and if they come back, I might have to stay some time out of work or whatever, you know. I don't think I have it, but, you know, you never know. But, yeah, I was kind of mad because I was like, well, what was the use of me taking a vaccine? And the thing about it, my boss, the one who was off this week, he had taken a vaccine, got popped two times, and he got a booster, and he still caught it. And see, this is why I tell people, y'all don't a lot of these people, they are pitching us a bunch of garbage a lot of times. When you look on the news and everything, they talk about conspiracy theorists and they talking about anti-vaxxers and y'all just don't care about other people and everything. And all they do is politicize this thing. And the very thing folks have been saying for about 2 years, now the CDC comes out saying, you stand a better, people who don't get the vaccine, they stand a better chance that they're exposed to COVID than those who get vaccinated. Shoot, a report came out from the Cleveland Clinic that said if you have already caught COVID-19 and you get a vaccination, the vaccination really doesn't do you any good. Now, Cleveland Clinic is one of the most respected medical establishments out there. But no, we have to follow the politics. The politics is more important. We care more about the politics than we do about facts. We care more about politics than we do about science. Although we say we're about science, but you're really not about science. All you're about is politics. And now certain areas, they're saying, well, we're getting rid of the mask mandates and everything. I'm like, too late now. And, you know, they're saying that the spike in the cases is among those who have been vaccinated more than those who have been unvaccinated. They keep saying this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but it turns out the people who have been vaccinated, those who've gotten their boosters and everything, in the cases is among those people. But no, we got to politicize this thing. We got to make it political. You conservatives out there, y'all don't care about people's lives. Get vaccinated. You get vaccinated, you still catch it. I mean, what was the use of getting vaccinated in the first place? And I'm sitting here, I really do regret getting the vaccination because it was like, you know, you're telling me that you know more about my body than I do. You're telling me I'm not mature enough to make my own decisions for my own body. You're telling me that I can't do what's best for my body, but some political hack in Washington, D.C. knows more about me than I know about myself. But yet and still, a young woman wants to commit an abortion. Oh, it's her body, her choice. It's the choice. It's their choice. Well, I wanted to make a choice too, but I was told you can't make that choice. You make that choice, you might lose your job. And that it ticks me off. It does. It really does. But a lot of these people you see on TV, see people don't get once again, don't get fooled by these media types and everything. You sit there and think they are super smart and everything and they know what's going on and whatever. These people can't think out of a paper bag. More than 90% of them can't think out of a paper bag. They just saying they just flapping their yaps off. And we just sit here and we swallow it hook, line, and sinker. We just sit there and we just take everything that they say because they're talking to us over the TV. They got the nice backdrop and they dressed all nice and looked all and they're looking all good and everything. And they over here just flapping off at the yap and you think they know so much. And these people are no smarter than the average American. I'll say it again. They are no smarter than the average American. They just went to some school like Harvard or USC or whatever, got their journalism degree. And because they got the journalism degree, they think they're experts. But when you get a degree, college degree, what is it, medical or whatever and stuff like that, all that really means is that you did the homework and you passed the test. And you're diligent for coming to class. That's all that really means. Now, I'm not saying that people who have those degrees don't qualify for the degree, you know, that they earned. But a lot of these people, they just float along. They get that degree and they think because they got that degree, that makes them an expert. See, some people, they'll get the degree and they'll continue their studies after school. But some people, they get their degrees and they don't really continue their studies. But they think they're experts, and, you know, because look at my degree. I got a PhD. What does PhD stand for? Post hole digger. That's probably what you're good for. Post hole digging. You know these people that go out here and they dig these holes for telephone poles? That's a post hole digger. That's probably what you're good for. But a lot of these people you see on TV, these government types and everything, politicians or whatever, they are no smarter than your average person. They're really not. Don't believe me? Check out the intellectuality of people like Cori Bush and Maxine Waters and all the rest of them. Nancy Pelosi. I just learned Harry Reid passed away not too long ago. He was one of them too. But they think because they're the elites, they know what is best for everybody. And I don't care what you think about yourself. We know more about you than you know about yourself. We know what's best for you better than you know what's best for yourself. And then don't call yourself a Christian because they'll say, oh, you're a Christian? Oh, okay, well then you should really be getting the vaccine because if you're a Christian, you should be caring about your fellow man. And if you don't get that vaccine, that means you don't care about your fellow man. So you ain't no Christian if you don't get a vaccine. Sometimes I'm tempted to backhand some people. I got some big hands, you know. It'll hurt a lot. Sometimes I'm tempted to backhand some people. I won't do it, but you know. And no, it's not a sin to be tempted. So some of you so-called Bible scholars out there. And it amazes me, too. It amazes me, too, about these people that go around talking about what a Christian should be and what a Christian shouldn't be doing and everything. And most of the time, these people don't want anything to do with the Bible. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. But when you challenge their little beliefs, here they all of a sudden, they act like they're Bible scholars. Well, if you were a Christian, you would care about your fellow man. That means you would get the shot. Okay, so tell me what, can you explain to me why people are still getting sick? And why those who are being vaccinated are the ones getting sick? It's not the unvaccinated. It's those who are vaccinated. This recent spike here, I mean, you got a lot of people been vaccinated, got the boosters and everything. They still getting sick. And me, I don't trust any of them. I don't trust them. But these rascals think because they're the elites, they're the ones you see on TV, and they walk around looking all important, dressed up all nice and everything, and they come out here and they can speak politically and everything. They think they are... They think they're high and above. They think they're levels above everybody else. Oh, I work on Capitol Hill. I work in the White House. I'm a senator. I'm a representative. You're a bonehead. And then these are the same people that get you begging to vote for them every voting cycle, telling you vote now, vote. Look, don't come to me. Don't come in my face telling me to vote. I vote look, if I see any reason to vote, I'll do it. If you seem to be a good candidate, I'll vote for you. Don't come to me telling me, oh, don't forget to vote. Come with a plan to vote. How do you plan to vote? You just go and vote. It's not like you trying to get out of your house during a fire or something like that. You just go vote. So I don't like it when people hound me about voting and everything, because all these people care about is their power and their money. That's all they care about. And I'm talking about both sides, Republican and Democrat. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying that. Because once again, I get to talk, you know, talking my opinion, vote. Oh, you saying folks shouldn't vote? No, I ain't saying that. If you feel the need to vote, go ahead. But don't come here beat me over the head because I didn't vote. Because there have been a couple of times I ain't like either candidate. I'm not one of those vote for the better of the two evils type of people. I'm not one of those type of people. I have a higher standard. I'm not just going to vote for somebody for the sake of voting. Now, if you put a fine point to it, you know, if you want me to vote, yeah, I'll go and vote. But you know what? I'll write my name in the blank. I don't like this guy. I don't like this guy. I guess I'll write my name in. You had people writing him Mickey Mouse and everything. So I won't go that far. I'll write my name in. Because technically, politically illiterate as I am, I think I can do a better job of running this country than the political elites themselves. What? You didn't vote? No, I wrote my name in. And, you know, maybe that's what I ought to do from now on, you know. And I remember at the last presidential election, you know, they always have some people outside. They always have some people outside trying to sway your vote or whatever. And especially here in Durham, they have this group called the Committee for the Affairs of Black People, something like that. And where I live is a very high black area where I live. And I have to go to this project area. It's a community center in this project area, about a little less than a mile from where I live. There's always someone out there trying to sway your vote. Oh, hey, can you vote for this? Look, one guy came to me. He said, hey, bro, hey, look. I told him, hey, look, I already know who I'm going to vote for. I don't need you coming up to me telling me. I already know who I'm going to vote for. You're not going to sway my vote. So don't even try it with me. I already know who I'm going to vote for. Thank you. Sway my vote. And I gotten to the point where I don't even get those little I voted stickers on. I don't even wear those. I voted. Oh, I'm proud. I voted. Man, get that mess out of here. And I'm not saying you shouldn't wear the sticker or anything like that. I'm just saying that I don't see the need to wear that sticker. I don't see the need to vote in every cycle or choose the better of two evils. I don't see the need for me to get the vaccine. And I know a lot of people, it's like, man, this guy, he's, ugh. But that's just me. I'm an individual. And one thing I really take stock in is my individuality. I don't get caught up in, you know, the collective, so to speak. I remember watching, and I've probably mentioned this on the show before, you know, and I'm pretty sure y'all are familiar with this movie, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. In that movie, they say that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. That's socialism talking. That's socialism talking. That's what that is. Do this for the good of all, man. That's socialism, Nazi talk. You have to understand that people are individuals. And you can't just say you got to be part of this collective and think because you're part of this collective, you all got to think the same thing. Now, I might vote for this candidate right here, but my reason for voting for him might be different than your reason for voting for him. Why? Because I'm an individual. I have my reasons why I voted for this person. And just because I'm part of some collective, i.e. black folks, does not mean I'm supposed to, we're all supposed to think the same way. We all have different dreams. We have aspirations. We have certain goals we want to meet. And some of these things are not conducive for the collective. The collective gets mad. The collective says, oh, you're a sellout. Oh, you don't care about grandma and all this other stuff. No, I know what is best for me. I know what's best for me. You can't tell me what's best for me. I know what is best for me. I mean, that's just how I see it. And keep in mind that when you are speaking about the collective, when you are speaking about the collective, you have to understand that the collective is made up of many individuals. This is not a hive mind. We don't have a hive mentality. So you might think this is best for the collective, but really it's detrimental to the individual. If that makes any sense. Give me a second. Sweetie. And my wife, you know, my wife is always constantly getting some kind of information. She's always getting information, you know. I don't know if that rubbed off on me or if rubbed off from me or if she's just that type of person. And but she loves the information. She's on her phone. And like I said, this new mic I have, it picks up everything, you know. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, you know. Hey there, Robert, Mr. Garding. What's up, man? Yeah, I'm over here. I'm basically over here talking about, you know, I just went off on a rant because I didn't even get into my subject. I just got off into a bit of a rant where, you know, people keep thinking about us in terms of being a collective instead of thinking of us as individuals. And we, you know, we all have different reasons for why we do what we do. And one thing people need to understand, too, is that I don't care what tribe you're from, what race you're from, what group you're from or whatever. You have every individual in that group is uniquely different from everyone else. We have different fingerprints. We have different likes, dislikes, different dreams, aspirations. Everything about us is different. Even identical twins. Yeah, you might have identical twins, but this one might have crooked teeth. And you might have identical twins, but each one of them, they're not thinking along the lines of the other twin. One might want to be a running back for the Miami Dolphins, and the other one might want to be a pilot for American Airlines. So we're all individuals. We're all made different. We're all uniquely different. And that's the thing the elites need to understand. Because we are unique, because we are different, we have the right to determine what is best for ourselves, not the elites. The only job of the government is to protect us from foreign and domestic enemies and to protect our freedoms as they are spelled out in the Constitution. That's their only job. Not this making up rules as you go along type of thing that they like to do. I mean, some of these laws that they got in some of these places, you're like, how in the world, who come up with this stuff? You can't watch your neighbor's dog while he's running around in the yard. And I'm just making that up. Might get arrested if you got too many roaches in your apartment. You know, I mean, and while I'm along the lines, I'm not a prophet. I'm not sitting here saying God told me this, but I will not be surprised if they come up with a new tax called the roach tax. And I'm being a little bit funny when I say that, but I'm only half joking. I won't be surprised if they come up with something like that. Housing inspector comes in your house, sees a few roaches, makes a few little calculations, and then he puts a tax on you based on how many roaches he's seen in your house. You think that's ridiculous? They already have a runoff tax. You know what a runoff tax is? When a storm comes over your house and it rains on your house, they tax you on the amount of rain that runs off of your property into the storm drains. I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. Here in Durham, and I believe in the entire state of North Carolina, might be other states too, a runoff tax. It rains on your house. And the amount of rain that falls on your house, you have to pay a tax on it. Now, how in the world they come up with the calculations for that, I don't know. And for one thing, I can't control the weather. The weather just happens. Here in the past couple of weeks here in Durham, North Carolina, we've gotten snow on the weekend. Last weekend we got snow. Yesterday we got a little bit more snow than we did last weekend. We couldn't control that. We could not control that. So don't think it's ridiculous. Yes, it is. It's a very stupid tax. Yes, it is. A runoff tax. When I first heard someone say there's a such thing as a runoff tax, I was like, man, get out of here. And found out, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? They actually have a runoff tax. This one guy, you know, he got a bill in the mail saying he needed to pay for the amount of water that ran off of his property into the storm drains. How in the world can you determine that? There are a bunch of houses. Is someone out there making calculations? And y'all, they say, yes, it is. And so is a death tax and a social security. Oh, yeah, all of it. And the reason why they're stupid is because they've already been taxed. Social Security, why are you going to tax Social Security? Social Security was already taxed out of our paychecks. And a death tax, that's one of the stupidest ones, too. Someone dies, you're going to tax their family? Or some reason like that, something like that. And you got people saying, well, they need a tax. You know, like if you receive an inheritance, I don't think you should be taxed. But people, they're like, well, I got to work hard for my money. Why does this person get an inheritance? I mean, you ain't none of your business, first of all. Ain't none of your business. None of your cotton picking business. And then, the government's all too eager to sweep down, and, you know, we're going to fix things. And that's why we're getting this little socialism creeping in. Say, what is that, Robert? Tahe is where it is going, Vince. I don't know what you mean by that. But it's going into their pockets. That's where it's going. It's going into their pockets. Going into the politicians' pockets. That's why they can make $100,000 a year and they live in $4 million mansions. For so many years here in North Carolina, they fought against the lottery for so many years. And then one day, the General Assembly, they had a meeting, and the people who opposed the lottery didn't make it to the meeting. So they put a vote up on the lottery. They said, oh, okay, nobody's opposed. Okay, we got a lottery now. And they call it the North Carolina Education Lottery. But it's a funny thing, though. They still crying about money for education in North Carolina. But I thought this was supposed to go to education. They said, no, that's going to be a drop in the bucket. Well, then why did you pass it in the first place? If it wasn't going to help education? See, people don't use common sense. That's a problem. That's a problem. They don't use common sense. And you got a lot of people who are greedy. They go out there, they spend their hard-earned money trying to hit that Powerball. And the only people who are benefiting from it are the elites. They put that money right in their pockets. And you can't just get rid of you can't just get rid of some of these laws when they vote on these laws and they come to fruition. You can't just get rid of them. That's what I'm saying about this communism they're trying to direct us to. If we turn into a socialist nation, we can't sit there and say, oh man, this was a bad idea. No, you can't turn around then because it's too late then. It's too late then. Well, I didn't know this was going to. You got examples all around the world. Tell me one nation where communism has actually been beneficial, has really benefited the citizens. Tell me one. And don't come to me with this Denmark and all this, these European countries, because they are not social. I think the president of Denmark or whatever their leader is, he said, I don't know why people keep saying our country is a socialist country. He said, we have a market economy. But people in this country who are dumber than a bunch of rocks, they always want to point to Europe and say, oh, yeah, look at Europe. They use communism. Look at how the people are living happy. They're not using communism. You got some European countries over there that they use communism, but no. Norway and Sweden and those are not communist countries. Wow, 10 to 15 years, really? I didn't know that. I thought it was longer than that. I thought it was like 30 or 40, maybe even 50. Look at all the lives that communism has destroyed in the past. In the 20th century, 100 million people died as a result of communism. Soviet Union, Cambodia, North Korea, Cuba, Ethiopia, Venezuela. Tell me how these people are living. People having to trap rats and everything and stray dogs and cats to get something to eat. Oh, but communism is so good. And a lot of these young people that going around talking about we need a communist country, I guarantee you, if you ask them, well, what is communism and why is it so good? They couldn't tell you. They could not tell you. They couldn't tell you the difference between communism and capitalism. But they talk about capitalism is evil, but they are benefiting off of capitalism and don't even realize it. You see these rap artists getting up talking about, oh, capitalism is keeping a black man down. No. Look at Jay-Z and Beyonce. Tell me capitalism is keeping them down. You know why Jay-Z and Beyonce are worth about $1 billion right now? It's because of capitalism, not because of communism, capitalism. They're benefiting off the very thing that they criticize. And once these elites get into power and they develop a centralized government, which is key to a communist country, you think these guys are going to share it with you? Some people are going to be offed. Huh, you're not beneficial to my plan. Bang, bang. Tie that blindfold around your head. Put that cigarette in your mouth. Got anything, last words to say? Oh, you don't? Okay. Bow! They don't care about you. They don't care about you. I see these sometimes, you know, like I said, my wife, she loves to watch, you know, a lot of political commentary and everything. Sometimes when I come in, I see her watching that. I want to tell her, you can cut that mess off. But see, she's learning what's going on out there. See, that's why this young lady can come from Liberia. And she understands what is going on in the world. She doesn't understand why people would affiliate with China, because she lived in China for 10 years. And I'm not saying the Chinese people are, you know, are at fault. It's the CCP. It's their government, not the Chinese people. So, you know, these people that go around and hunt down Chinese people saying they're responsible for COVID and all that, you're stupid. No, no, no. Stupid's too nice a word. You're real stupid. There's some words I want to use that are stronger, but I don't use that type of language anymore. Yeah, we got they're having an Olympics in Beijing, I think it is. And people still, you know, they panic about COVID over here. They panic about COVID, but these people still want to go to China and participate in the Olympics. And they got spikes all over China. But of course, because China controls the information that comes in and out of their country, we all sit here thinking that, oh, China got it under control. No, they don't. And some of the places that are having these spikes in China, these COVID spikes, they're less than 100 kilometers, less than 100 kilometers from where the people will be participating in the Olympics. No, I'm not broadcasting to another station. I'm going to do that in the future, though. But basically, I'm just broadcasting here with you good people with a chat room. So, but, you know, in the future, I hope to do that. You know, once my finances and everything get up and whatever, I would love to do that. I would love to do, I don't know if you all are, I would love to do an ABL or Officer Tatum or something like that. I would love to do something like that. I would love to do that, you know. But see, I'm with you good people now, see. That's the thing, I'm with you good people. I'm telling you all, but and see, this is why I plead with people. This is why I plead with people. I listen to people, and when they talk, it sounds like they getting the same talking points from the news media. And I'm like, you all need to stop listening to the news. No. Let me take that back. You need to stop taking what you hear from the news at face value. There's this thing we can do in the United States because we are a relatively free country. It's called research. We can research and study what we hear. And see, a lot of us don't research and study. We don't research and study. We just come in from work, throw our coat down, turn on the news, and we think we're getting all the information we need. And we don't understand that basically what they are feeding us off of the TV is what they want us to hear, not what we need to hear, what they want us to hear. They're giving us a prepackaged program designed to get you to respond in a certain way. And if you respond in that way that they want you to respond, that ups their ratings. And what happens when they up their ratings? They get more money. People, you need to understand this. I don't know why it frustrates me sometimes. I listen to people, they're like, Bob Moneybags on CBC, on the CBC channel, he said this and that and everything. No. You can't just take their word at it. See, that's why so many people turn against Donald Trump. And they just took it at face value. You all know good and well, if you will look at the history of Donald Trump, you know that man is not a racist. Nowhere near racist. He's gotten NAACP awards for his work in black communities. Show him taking pictures with Rosa Parks and Muhammad Ali and Jesse Jackson. But, you know, he decided to run as a conservative, and all of a sudden, oh, we got to get him out of office. And the news media, they had it planned out to get you all to think that this man was a racist. And you all took it hook, line, and sinker. And I'm talking to some of you Christian people out there, too, because you all should know better. Y'all should be at a higher standard than everybody else. Because you got the truth. The Bible says you're going to look into a matter. You're not just going to take it at face value. You're going to look into a matter. But you know what? A lot of us Christian people, we follow the same way. You know why? Because we care more about our skin color and our politics than we do about the truth. We sit here, we can quote scriptures up one wall, across the ceiling, and down another. But when it comes to politics, nope, the Bible got to take a back seat. Bump that Bible. But you'll sit here and say it's God's word, but you don't even follow God's word. Because a lot of us are mentally and intellectually lazy. I'm going to keep on using them terms till it runs out of your ears. Mentally and intellectually lazy. We don't want to do the work for ourselves. We don't want to do the research for ourselves because it's too much work. You know, there's a running joke in black communities. They say if you want to keep information from a black person, put it in a book. It's sad to say, it might be true. I love my books. I got one from Amazon the other day called Nine Commentaries on Communist China. And if you all looking, and I'm not being paid to do this or anything like this, but if you all looking for a good publication that tells you what's going on in the world, get the Epic Times. Get the Epic Times. And there are a whole bunch of them out there. Gateway Pundit, Epic Times. Oh, man, it's so many. I can't even name them. I used to read one called Godfather Politics. I don't think that has a site anymore. But people, we have the resources. Here in Durham, we tore down our library, built it up, got a state-of-the-art library. I wonder how many people are going to go there and learn something new. Now, me, I'm not a library person. I like to get my books because me... The library doesn't do me good because the only books I can get from a library are books I can read within a couple of days. But books that have a lot of information in them, you know, I have to get mine from Amazon. I'd rather pay for a book than to borrow one. And that's just me. But a lot of people, it seems like it's too much work for them to simply go to the library and get a book. Man, when I lived in Prince George's County, Maryland, Oxon Hill, we had a library. I think that library is still there too. I used to love going to that library. Remember, I had to go to that library to get some information about Nicaragua because I had to do a report on Nicaragua in sixth grade. Got all them books and everything, put everything together, gave my report. I got a B minus on that report. And the comment my teacher wrote on it, she said, "What a neat report." Went to the library. We got the library. We have the internet. But you know what we do? We use these things more to entertain us than to learn. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be entertained. I'm not saying don't go watch a movie or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But that should be part of your daily routine. The research, the reading, the learning. It should all be part of your routine. But a lot of us, those go into any black community and check out what a lot of black folks are looking at on their cell phones. They either playing a game or watching some hip hop video. What is that? What World Star Hip Hop? They're not reading a book. Every morning I read my Bible on my iPhone. Every morning and evening I read my Bible. And I also have a Kindle. I love to read. I've always been a reader, you know, but you know that's a four letter word in the black community. But anyway, I'm at the top of the hour. And oh man, my goodness, look at this. Western Journal. Yeah, they're a good one. One American News. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, all of them, they're good. But I'm at the top of the hour, and when I come back, my goodness, I haven't even gotten on my subject yet. But that's okay. That's okay. I hope you all are getting something out of what I'm saying. I hope you all not sitting here saying, he's just running off at the mouth. I really hope you all are getting something out of what I'm saying. And don't just take what I say at face value, you know, because even though I believe I know what I'm talking about, sometimes I probably don't. And you say, you know, I hear Vincent talking. Let me check out what he's talking about, you know. But anyway, let me go here and get my advertisements, and I will come back with you good people on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Conservative Nation Media is growing. And what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to be a guest on this show, call in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. Before I go to the phones, I wanted to pull up this article that I saw the other day. Had something to do with Joe Biden's numbers. Joe Biden doing such a good job in this country. Oh man, you gotta love him. He's doing such a good job. And if you believe that, I got some swamp land to sell you on the moon. But anyway, and this article comes from The Guardian. It says, "It's a tough time. Why is Biden one of the most unpopular U.S. presidents?" Joe Biden, he's feeding that he's a bottom feeder like the other mud cats, and his approval has just tanked. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a president as unpopular as Joe Biden, but yet and still, he got a record amount of votes at the election. 81 million. Makes you a little suspicious. But anyway, it says, puzzle of Biden's unpopularity has some pieces within his control and some not, experts say. As COVID casts a shadow over his first year in office, Joe Biden ends his first year in office at a particularly bleak moment for a U.S. president who promised competency and normalcy. Much of his domestic agenda is stalled on Capitol Hill, impeded by members of his own party. The virus is once again raging out of control. Daily infections of COVID-19 have soared to record levels, hospitalizing more Americans than at any previous point during the pandemic. The administration's vaccine or testing mandate for large employers was blocked by the Supreme Court's conservative supermajority. Inflation is at a nearly 40-year high. Diplomatic talks have so far failed to pull Russia back from the brink of war with Ukraine. After winning more votes than any president, than any presidential candidate in American history, put an asterisk to that one, people. Biden is now, just 12 months later, one of the country's most unpopular presidents, if not the most unpopular, if you were to ask me. For months, Biden's approval ratings have languished in the mid to low 40s. I heard it was lower than that in the mid 30s, with an average approval rating of 42%. A Quinnipiac poll released last week found him at a dire 33%, which the White House has dismissed as an outlier. Really. Nevertheless, among his modern predecessors, only Donald Trump fared worse at this point in their presidencies. Really? I don't remember that, but anyway. The puzzle of Biden's unpopularity has many pieces, pollsters and political analysts say. How much of it is within his control is difficult to say. Biden came to office with lofty ambitions. He promised to lift the threat of the deadly virus and to usher in a new era of responsive governance and bipartisanship in Washington. Insert hysterical laughter here. Okay. 1 year into his presidency, Biden remains confronted by an unabating pandemic, a nation still very much divided, and a Republican Party that continues to embrace the big lie, quote unquote, the big lie that Donald Trump won the 2020 election. They keep pushing that. They keep saying, oh, you all know that's been proven wrong. No, it hasn't been proven wrong. Y'all just didn't investigate it. And, you know, let me go off on a tangent right now. If Donald Trump ever runs again for president, he needs to ditch Mike Pence, because Mike Pence could have put an end to a lot of this stuff. A lot of people who Donald Trump has appointed, especially in a Supreme Court, they basically stab him in the back. Let me just say that. We remember Kavanaugh and, you know, the false accusations against Kavanaugh, and the accusations were only made against Kavanaugh because he was appointed by Trump. But now Kavanaugh, he's a turncoat. But anyway, I think the only person in the Supreme Court that has any lick of common sense is Clarence Thomas. And maybe Justice Alito, but definitely Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas is the daddy on the Supreme Court. And you can quote me on that. Whenever a president disappoints expectations, that's a problem, said Bill Galston, a senior fellow of governance studies at the Brookings Institution, who also served as a White House policy advisor to former President Clinton. Galston said the administration had not done a good job of managing expectations around COVID. In July, Biden came just shy of declaring independence from the virus, only to be proven wrong by the arrival of the fast-spreading Delta variant. Now, amid a surge caused by the Omicron variant, the president and his team are recalibrating. Dr. Anthony Fauci, insert hysterical laughter here, the nation's top infectious disease specialist, recently said that Omicron would find just about everybody. Biden recently conceded that eradicating the virus was unlikely, but that it was possible to control it. This is the same guy who said, if you get your vaccination, you won't have to worry about COVID. He said that you'll be protected. And at the beginning of this show, I told you all about, you know, when I took my wife to urgent care, and the doctor was telling me, you know, y'all going to have to sleep in separate rooms and all that crazy mess, and that I'm going to have to get tested again. And what I'm sitting there like, well, what was the use of me getting the vaccine in the first place? You're telling me I need to do the same thing an unvaccinated person needs to do. Let me just go on. It is a case for swing voters who believe Biden would govern as a centrist bridge builder in an age of deep division, Galston continued. And for Democrats to whom Biden promised an ambitious legislative agenda, despite holding wafer-thin margins in Congress, Sarah Longwell, a prominent anti-Trump Republican strategist, has observed support for the president decline among voters in the focus groups she has convened over the past year. When asked to grade Biden's first year, many voters she spoke to, including Democrats, gave him C's, D's, and F's. I don't know. I think giving him a C might be too nice. The grades, Longwell said, were not a reflection of Biden, who she said many are still rooting for, but of a shared discontent as the pandemic enters its third year and inflation continues to rise. There is an element of it that has nothing to do with Joe Biden, she said. It's just a tough time. Insert hysterical laughter here. When did our inflation reach a 42-year high? Come on, someone please answer this. Answer this for me. Was it during Trump's administration? No. A lot of these problems that we are facing today is because of Joseph Budinski. The gas prices. What did Joseph Budinski do when he first got into office? He shut down the XL pipeline. Not only did that cause our gas prices to skyrocket, but it took a lot of people out of a good paying job. And he wants to sit up here talking about, oh, we're going to create jobs. You just took away a whole bunch of jobs, probably thousands. All Joseph Budinski is doing is to get rid of anything that has Donald Trump's name on it. That's all. That's all. And they say, oh, well, this element that has nothing to do with Joe Biden. Yes, it is. Our inflation didn't start to skyrocket until he got into office. Our gas prices didn't start to skyrocket until he got into office. Now, you don't need to research that. You can just use a little common sense. A lot of the things that we are facing right now is because of Joe Biden in office and that dingbat vice president of his, Kamala Harris. Now, I'm not going to be nice. You know that more people died last year, supposedly died of COVID last year, during Joe Biden's, Joseph Budinski's first term, first year as president, then died during Donald Trump's last year as president. See, once again, we all got duped by a person making promises that they knew they couldn't keep, but they just put it out there for you to hear. So you can say, ooh, he's going to do this? Okay, I'm going to vote for him. La, 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 la. I'm skip to grandmama's house. Grandma, guess what? I voted for Joseph Budinski. Man, if I was your grandmama, I'd snatch you in there and whoop your hind parts. You did what? But anyway, Everything that you see going on, they're trying to divert all of our attention to Donald Trump. Last year, when we had that disastrous exit from Afghanistan, everybody wanted to say it was Trump's fault. Trump had an exit strategy, and even Joe Biden himself said we can't just take everybody out of Afghanistan and leave our stuff over there. But what did he do? The very thing he said that was wrong. And I believe he did that because he was like, I'm going to show Trump. I'm going to show him. Come on, bring them all over here. Don't worry about our equipment over there. 13 of our servicemen got killed during an attack at the airport. People clinging on to the planes, falling off the planes, but we still wanted to blame Donald Trump. That wasn't Donald Trump's fault. This is Joseph Budinski's fault. He needs to own up to it. And a lot of you black people out there, a lot of you black fruit bats out there that voted for Joe Biden because you got Kamala Harris, who is a liar and has one too many fruit bats in her belfry. What do you think about her now? Joe Biden getting up, oh, she's doing a good job. She ain't doing no good job. People leaving her administration left and right. Can't get along with her. Because they say she's like a slave driver. Well, I guess she is because, you know, I mean, one of her ancestors used to own slaves in Jamaica. So, I mean, she's just carrying on the family business. So, I mean, but anyway, but yeah. But nobody wants to call out Joe Biden, you know, and nobody is doing it vocally. You know, they'll do it behind the scenes. Well, I don't think, you know, I voted for Joe Biden, but I don't think he's doing a good job. Okay, come on. Let me put the camera on. No. And these rascals are still obsessed with Donald Trump. If you all are so obsessed with Donald Trump, well, why didn't you all keep him in office? I think we'd be better off today than we are now. I mean, we'll be better off today with him in office. Joe Biden doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is not a very good president. I'm just going to say that. He's not a good president. Not good at all. He's the worst president we ever had. The last time I heard of inflation as high as it is today, I was in elementary school. Jimmy Carter. We had Clinton, we had the Bushes, we had Obama, but still our inflation isn't as high as it is today. Wasn't as high then with them as it is today. I mean, folks, wake up and smell the coffee. Like I said, stop paying attention to your local news media and the national news, I think, is even worse. I think the national news, the CNNs and the ABC nightly news and all that, I think they're worse. But anyway, let me get this other article in, and I will hit the phones. I know I've been bouncing my lips a lot, but let me get here. This other article, let me see where this comes from. This article is from a site called The Daily Surge, and their motto is, "We don't take a knee." And the name of the article is, Race Aside, Please. Let me get this up again. It says, Race Aside, Please. I'm privileged because I'm an American. You know how people go around talking about white privilege and all that? Don't let leftist social media shut us out. Okay, that's a caption. Okay. Americans indeed are privileged, all of them, because they are part of the nation, not because of their race. I do not feel like a privileged person today when I watch Olympic competitions. These young white, black, and Asian athletes from around the world have been given incredible opportunities to train and specialize in their events. When I should have started such training as a child, I did not even know there was such a thing. When we had a functional television in our home, which was rare, we had atrocious reception. I remember hearing Neil Armstrong's famous words, but I could not see anything on the screen. I rarely participated in any after-school opportunities because it felt wrong to ask my parents to figure out how to get me home afterwards. Our central heating used a coal furnace, which I never successfully learned to fire. I slept in a sleeping bag all winter long. In spite of the challenges, I was comfortable and happy with my life. I felt like a privileged American. And this is Dr. Gary Welton. This is the author of this article. We were not privileged economically. My family had a history of poverty that dated from the Civil War. My great-great-grandfather, Milo Welton, as a 40-year-old, saw his oldest teenage son, John, enlist in the Union Army to assist the efforts to establish freedom for all Americans by ending slavery in the United States. Milo apparently felt guilty that his son accepted this challenge when he himself had not done so. So he enlisted in the Union Army as well. Both lost their lives during the Civil War. John died of a gunshot wound to the chest. Records indicate that Milo died of malaria or dysentery. Milo is buried in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. Soldiers and Airmen's Home National Cemetery. Though his name is misspelled as Walton, we get that a lot, John is buried at the Calvary Corps Cemetery, City Point, Virginia. As a result of supporting the effort to end slavery, my great-great-grandmother had the task of rearing her younger children without the support of their father and oldest brother. The historical records provide little detail about their struggles, but my family heritage is not one of economic privilege. My grandfather spent his working years as a farmhand, hiring himself out for brief periods of time when his assistance was needed, wherever he could find work. The family had to move frequently. My father reported that he lived in some 20 different houses from the time of his birth until he left home to join the Army Air Corps in World War II. His mother quickly learned not to unpack the family's non-essential possessions. My ancestors made a choice to risk their economic stability to support the rights and equality of all Americans. They paid a high price for that choice. The resulting family poverty directly impacted the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. My economic heritage was not a privileged one because I am white. My white ancestors chose not to cash in on any privilege, but instead counted it an honor to support the rights of all Americans. My great-grandfather grew up without his father from age 8. As an adult, he suffered through tornado, fire, and typhus, yet helped start one of the churches here in town. My mother worked cleaning houses to help pay the bills and buy the coal to heat the old house. My parents taught me that the choices we make in how we live our lives and treat others, whether they look like us or not, are more important than our economic status. I did not have some of the opportunities that my classmates had because of our economic challenges. But I was a privileged person, but I was a privileged person, not particularly because I was white or because I was male. Rather, I am a privileged American with the opportunity to support freedom for all, whether they look like me or not. I do not apologize for being a white American. My family paid a price to help establish freedom for all Americans. Please don't call me racist just because my skin. I'm Dr. Gary L. Welton, and I'm looking at a picture right of him right now. Yeah, he's a white guy. Yep. So that should destroy the notion of white privilege right there. Of course, you know, the CRT pushers and all of them, they're going to keep on flapping and yap about that phantom. But anyway. And you got black people here in this country who are benefiting all, like I said earlier, you know, with Beyonce and Jay-Z. And people say, well, you know, they had to do something special. What special thing did they have to do in order to get? They didn't have to do anything different than any white person to get to where they are now. And if they had to do something special to get to where they are, how come they didn't share it with their fellow black people? Okay, I think I'm going to get in trouble. How come they didn't share it with their fellow black people? If they had to do something special, you know, I was debating with someone on Facebook a few weeks ago, and he said, well, I know how to move in the system. That's why I'm prosperous. Well, that's what white people do. They know how to move in the system too. And if we have to do something so special in order to be prosperous, I'm talking about black folks, well, why don't you all share that with your fellow black folks? What you had to do so special. You didn't have to do anything more special than white people did. And by the way, a lot of you all who are prosperous and you're millionaires and everything in this country, guess what? You know that you are living better than the average white person is in this country. So where's the white privilege? Come on now. Come on. Give me some feedback. Where is the white privilege? Telling you all, you know, 2022, I got some big plans for 2022. I mean, where is the white privilege? Where I live right now, you know, I live in a 2-bedroom apartment, 1 bathroom. Been living here for about, how long, 17 years now. What? You lived there for 17 years? Yeah. Well, thank God I got a roof over my head. I got food to eat. I got clothes. I got a working vehicle. Of course, I'm looking for a better place to stay. You know, I'm hoping by the end of this year I'll be in another location. Someone told me it's not a good time to look for houses right now, but I'm still going to look. But a lot of these black millionaires you got out here, these black millionaires and billionaires, they're living better than most white people. they're probably living better than 99% of white people. I can guarantee you most white people that I've known personally over my lifetime, if I could put them all together, they still would not be worth one of these millionaires or these billionaires, these black billionaires. Look at them in the NFL, you know. NFL, baseball, NBA. Them rascals making millions, and they still want to talk about, you know, we're still playing for the white man. Yeah, and the white man's paying you handsomely. But y'all still want to talk about white privilege and all that stupid mess. Y'all need to cut this mess out. Oh, gosh, I got to deal with the fruit bats. Folks, y'all know what that is. Y'all know what time it is. Time for me to go to the phones. That's my fruit bat alarm. And if I bring you on the phone and you want to act like a fruit bat, that means excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, random insults, things like that. It will prompt me to push the kick button and I will hang up for you. So if you're going to engage in that type of activity, I'm giving you the warning now. You best hang up. Okay. But anyway, having said all that, let me go to the phones. Hello, welcome to the show.
Ooh-wee. Boy, that's music. That's so good to the ears, man. That's like sound like telling people to come on and get it. Food's ready. Dinner's now. You know, Vincent, I'm going to tell you something. You're right about Joe Biden and these Democrats. Some guy out, his name is Dice. He was interviewing people on the street and asked them, said, we have signed a petition in order to lock up people who don't want to become vaccinated. And you should have seen the people signing it. Everybody was wanting to sign it. Young ones, that goes to show you that they have been miseducated completely out of their mind. There's some ridiculous stuff going on.
Yeah.
You look at Sotomayor making that statement talking about 100,000 kids was infected from the virus when actually the number was only 3,000. She said they were in serious condition due to COVID. She's lying.
Yeah.
And she should be impeached for telling that lie, as she is.
I think the number is about 3,500, something like that.
And that's what you see going on. They lie, they lie, they lie. And you know these traveling nurses, they're getting paid somewhere around $40,000 a month for going off abroad. But have you seen how these idiots out there in Los Angeles is robbing these trains, these freight trains?
Oh my goodness! Don't get me to start talking about that. Oh man, I saw that the other day. Oh wow!
Why come they not being shot? You know, that don't make any sense. Then New York give 800,000 non-citizens the right to vote in local elections.
Yep.
800,000. Then out there in California, they let all those non-U.S. citizens have the opportunity to vote on the school board issues.
Wow.
What's up with this stuff, man?
I mean, really. And you know why we're seeing that spike of crime in California, because you know, they can't arrest anybody unless they steal more than $1,000 worth of items, and you know, because they don't want to be seen as racist, you know, they don't want to be seen as racist and everything. But oh yeah, you know, let's drop the protection for our citizens because we don't want to be accused of racism, you know, because one of these black boys might get shot, and then we have to deal with the racism thing. That's all that's about. But they'd rather they think that's more important than protecting their citizens from criminals.
Well, I mean, it's just it's crazy how these things just going by like they're going. Nobody seems to care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
how
don't.
How your wife doing?
Oh, she's doing good. She took her illness like a champ, you know. And like I said, this is the second time she caught it, and I wasn't expecting the ruling to be COVID because, you know, my wife, you know, she seemed to move about. Just, I mean, she wasn't down or anything like that. Like I said, I had gotten a migraine headache, and she was feeling dizzy, and she was doing a lot of coughing, and she was particularly talking about the night sweats. She was nighttime.
That's
she was
good.
Yeah. but see, here's
good.
The thing. She didn't. Yeah, she didn't lose her taste or her smell during this entire time. So, you know,
I
last time it was
mine, especially with some good food. Yeah. I never lose my taste. Good food on the table. I got my taste, buddy. And if
Let's
you burn
see,
up. It's gonna get you.
I don't know if you're in the chat room or whatever. I got a guy on here called Gal. I don't know who it is. Says crush the system. Says conservatives unfortunately put black people down in order to uphold white virtues. Family first, anti-LGBTQ, pro morals. Intriguingly, the black conservatives are actually parroting the same talking points that their white counterparts desire to be promoted. Black conservatives, for the most part, are simply black people in skin tone alone. Yeah, that's why I call my show Black by Color Only. Yeah, exactly. And he goes the man Pianki, he's making an accusation against you now. He's saying the man Pianki on radio now is a classic example. He makes money from various ventures, but comes on radio to denigrate true black liberation instead of utilizing his brain to help black people escape white supremacy. He uses his CNS, I don't know what that is, to make outlandish claims against the majority of black Pan-African.
You know who that is?
American
That's
people.
That guy, Imhotep. That's talking that. I don't think
oh, really?
To him. Yeah. I learned his speech pattern, how he used words. But anyway, I ain't got, you know, Nigeria is making some headway. They are building the world's largest oil producing plant. The world's largest.
And
they're
going to
utilize the natural resources that their country have to manufacture, process gasoline, diesel fuel, so that they don't have to import it. And that there is a great thing.
Okay.
And the man behind it is even opening a office in New York to take advantage of all the great opportunities that this country has to offer.
Yeah. Okay. And mm-hmm. and see, Nigeria they have a lot of natural resources. A lot of that area in West Africa, they are rich in natural resources. They just need the proper channels to exploit those and use it for the benefit of their citizens, you know, because a lot of those countries are corrupt. They have corrupt leadership, and the leadership just takes the natural resources and the benefits off of them and take it for themselves. You know, and Africa's been doing this for centuries.
Well, yeah, they've had some problems, and then they've had some great things to go down and continue to do, so they got very smart people. And what if for Nigeria, you wouldn't have any black males in some of these elite colleges?
Exactly.
They make up about 40% of the population in these elite colleges. They make up a high percentage of those in the medical field and your engineers in it. And it's because of the fact that this education system, what it does not do for African-American students is one of the reasons why. You need to get rid of these government schools. And I think that's what the trend is going to be. But you know, one other thing I want to talk about, this election, this ballot reform or voters reform, named after John Lewis. I may have talked to you about that earlier.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Another thing where blacks can't get ID, but you know, if you read the law, read the bill has nothing to do. You know, if they don't make a law that's going to cater to one particular ethnic group. Blacks can't win a statewide election in Georgia. They don't have the numbers. Even in Mississippi, where they're 37% of the population, which includes men, women, and children, they don't have the numbers. So you got to have whites to vote on those issues too. And surely they're not going to vote against themselves. And I asked people today, I said, show me where blacks are being denied the right to vote in Georgia. I said, hell, Fulton County.
I mean, that.
You in Georgia, aren't
that's
you?
That's a simple question. No, I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
same thing here.
County.
You know, I mean,
go ahead.
It's a simple question. Just a simple question. You ask. They come up talking about old voter suppression. Okay, so tell me, give me one example where black people are being suppressed from voting. Give me one example, just a specific example. Don't come up with this. You know, if you don't know, you just need to look it up. Nah, because you don't know what you're talking about. There's no voter suppression going on in the United States.
Well, it is because these Democrats are doing it. When you go to the polls and you got a ballot in your hand of information that you researched and chose who you're going to vote to, and you go walking up toward that poll, them poll workers in them Democratic precincts going to snatch that out of your hand and put what they want you to have. And getting back to Fulton County, you have people talking about, well, they ain't allowed to have water. Well, hell, they want to pass out water bottles. They got candidates' information all on it. Basically, what you're doing is canvassing people that's there in the line. And when it comes down to the precinct, you got idiots going to the wrong precinct. They stand in line because they go there as a group. You know, we go in there as buddies. Well, they can probably gossip and talk while they're in line. Then they get up there to where they're supposed to produce identification. The woman say, well, you're in the wrong precinct. Then what they ask for is provisional ballots because they're too damn lazy to go where they're supposed to be. And you look at the election commission in Fulton County. At Fulton County, if those precincts don't have enough voting machines, if they don't have facilities that can accommodate handicapped, well, that's the election commission's responsibility. White folks ain't got nothing to do with that. Fulton County Election Commission has six people on it. It's got Liz Hausman, Bob Ellis, and Lee Morris. They from District 1, 2, and 3. They all white. Then they got Natalie Hall, Marvin Appleton, and Khadijah Abdul-Rahman. He's from District 6. Those last three are black. And then guess what? The chairman, Rob Pitt, you got a pencil and paper? His phone number is 404-613-2330. Call him up, and he'll tell you, I'm black. That's 4 out of 7 are black.
Wow.
So you mean to tell me that black folks in those positions are discriminating against blacks? Well, that's the ones that you're supposed to point the finger to. They in control They're in control. You got people, yeah. Whites don't want us to vote. All bull crap. The idea that you have to get a lotto ticket is more stringent than going to the polls.
Yeah, exactly.
And we know who
see
who disproportionately buying lotto tickets.
Oh yeah, yeah. And see that's why I tell people use some. All you have to do is use some common sense. That's all you got to. But I think there are two things. I think some people know what's going on, but they don't care. And that some people are just too stupid to even understand what's going on, you know, really.
And you know that old say that used to have running slogan that every 20 years Congress have to vote to give blacks the right to vote.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a big lie. That was some of the biggest lies you ever
yeah.
heard. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Vincent, the 1965 Voters' Rights Act didn't have nothing to do about voting. Why would it? Did not black males have the right to vote before white women?
Yep. Certainly did.
Did not the 15th Amendment bring about the right to vote for women, which includes black women?
Did.
So how would it have or made it possible for blacks to vote? They already had their right to vote. It had to do about registration. And really...
See, Bianchi, this is what I don't like about you, because you keep coming on here talking common sense, man. You need to stop it with the common sense.
Well, you know, it just bothers you. It bothers you so much.
I mean, really.
You hear so much ignorance. But, you know, I tell you how I counter. I tell them to stay away from my kids. If I catch you teaching my kids, I'm going to hurt you. Stay the hell away
yeah,
from my
yeah.
kids with that mess.
Yeah.
That's a warning. And if you are teaching, I'm having a bit, hardly none of my kids go to public school system. My last grandson, he wanted to play sports. But I didn't put my kids in them damn classroom with them idiots. I don't care if they were black or who they were.
Yeah.
And it's quite obvious. Look at the data of the performance in these damn schools.
Yeah. That's all you have to do is look at the data. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, the data tells you that. In Normandy School District, hell, I built brand new buildings in Normandy School, so they can't say they don't have the facility. The data come out and show that they have as much money, if not more, than white districts. But a high school that's state-of-the-art, you got less than 14% of the students in high school grades can read proficient. Less than 5 can do math proficient. What kind of crazy mess is that? Then they take off a day and march around the damn building in commemoration for that guy that caused all that problem named George Floyd.
Yeah.
So who wants their child... to be participating in that. That's why they need to have school choice so young people that's there coming from functional homes won't be bored to the point where they're about ready to give up because they have to sit in those environments because the family is poor. Need to be able to move them and put them where they can participate in a learning environment that goes along with the long term plans of their family and parents, educational goals.
Yep. And you know you're going to hear a lot of this. You're going to start hearing a lot of this now, this time of year, because we just had Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and of course Black History Month is coming up. So you know you're going to hear a lot more of this stuff going on. You know, I heard someone the other day saying the conservatives want to keep black people from learning about their history. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, because when I came up in school in the 70s and the 80s, they taught us about slavery and Jim Crow and all that stuff. So I don't know where they're getting this nonsense from. I don't know where they get it from.
Yeah, what history are they talking about?
I mean, really, because and see, here's the thing, too. Here's another thing that I've understood, too. The teachers can only teach you so much. So what you doing at home, See, that's why I tell people most of what I know is from a 12th grade education and from learning stuff at home, you know, because I know how to pick up a book and read or, you know, watch some commentary or whatever and learn from that. You know, it's basically what are you doing when you're not in school? You know, and it's just like in sports, you know, the people who do the best in sports are those who practice when no one is calling them to come to practice. They'll practice on their own free time, you know, when the coach hasn't called practice. Those are the better players. And that's the same thing in school. You know, what are you doing at home? Your teachers can only teach you so much. They can't teach you every single little aspect, you know. So,
well, you're absolutely right. So classrooms today are diverse. You got children in them from all over the place. If you're not having, if you think that your child needs to have some additional information on things, well, teach it yourself. What's the churches doing? What's the community?
I mean, really.
What's the community facilities doing? You think everything's supposed to be taught in school? You can't do that anyway. You got these diverse. So what you going to, Somalis got to learn theirs. You got people from other parts of the world that's in their classroom. Bosnians, they got to learn theirs. That ain't going to fly over. You learn American history. Learn about this great nation that we live in. In many cases of time, you look at courses of event, it was almost God sent. Almost God sent. But where's everybody else? Where's Sarge? You hear from him?
No, I ain't heard from Sarge in a while. I ain't, you know, and I think my buddy Iredale, he was here. I guess I talked too long and he just hung up. I don't know. But I ain't heard from Sarge in about a month.
Yeah.
I get a little concerned about Sarge. I don't think I heard from Sarge all of December. Yeah, I hope he's okay too, you know, because he has a little element to this program too, because you know, I always like these people who have this Walter Williams or Thomas Sowell type of intellect.
Oh yeah, it's very good. A large number of rich blacks in the U.S. in the 50s and 60s hailed from Durham, North Carolina.
Oh yeah, yeah. Durham got a rich history.
And he went to Hillside School, high school.
Yep, I live a mile and a half from Hillside.
Yeah, Hillside was a very good school, highly achievable until they integrated.
Yeah,
a judge, liberal judge, said that they had to integrate. And disrupt the way things were. There's another school there, Wilkinson. Hillside and Wilkinson was two excellent schools there in Durham, North Carolina.
Okay. I ain't heard of the other one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's it brought about a demise of that. I think people should go to schools that they want to. If they don't want to be at a If a black family, like Nigerians, don't want to send their kids to them inner city schools, don't send them to them. I don't blame them. This stuff that's going on.
Yeah, I don't blame them either.
Because you got dysfunctional family. And that's dangerous. Why would you expose your precious to some dangers like that? It's worth enough what's going on in areas like Chicago with their kill rate. And I'm going to give you the latest stats. As of January the 14th, in 223 days, you had 3,382 blacks shot by other blacks. You hear that number? 3,000.
Wow.
Actually, 3,438. I upgraded. With 400. And 54 murders in a period of 233
days. You might have to start talking about You might have to start talking about Philadelphia, because I heard Philadelphia, we just barely gotten into this year. They don't already top their murder rate for last year. The murder rate for this month from last year. I said, you got to
be kidding me. As of January the 19th, in 233 days counting from Memorial Day, because you know they always have a big bang bang on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
3,438 blacks shot by other blacks.
By other blacks.
454 murdered. That is ridiculous, ain't it? You can't get no more ridiculous.
No, I mean, really.
Ain't no white police shot nobody.
But hey, let's talk about Black Lives Matter. You know, that's not the bigger issue to them. You know, we got to do our social justice walk. We got to do all this. I mean, come on, y'all.
But anyway, you covered pretty much on Joe Biden. And
I hope. And when you all come on this show, like I said before, I hope you all are getting something out of this. I hope y'all don't say, oh, here goes Vincent flapping off at their mouth again. There he goes, you know. I really do hope people get something out of this show. And I try to look up articles and everything to, you know, to share with everybody. And I need to get back to sharing the links on my show's description, because for some reason I always forget to do that. But I need to get back onto that. You know, share the link so people won't think that I'm just talking out the side of my neck or anything like that, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I hope he don't go messing with Russia and the Ukraine. You know, during the Obama administration, when the duly elected president of Ukraine, Yanukovych, was overthrown.
Yeah.
And Russia is not going to play for that. They're not going to play for you putting missiles in the Ukraine. It'd be like they coming and putting missiles in Venezuela or Chicago or California if it broke off. You're not going to have this stuff going on in Crimea, which sit there on the shores of the Black Sea, which their Black Sea fleet is stationed. They just ain't going to do it. I don't blame them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either.
And the United States military has been curtailed to the point that some of this stuff, you wonder if it even worked. You're supposed to have a deterrence. China is building over 300 missile silos. Some are dummy, some are live. They've tested hypersonic missiles. Russia has a missile that can go under the water and seek out submarines.
Mm.
And half our Trident and others, it's a wonder if they even will perform. Those things have to be constantly maintained to perfection.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about the Olympics coming up in China?
China said they ain't gonna have no Black Lives Matter protests, no athletes protesting, putting their hands up. If they gonna run their ass out the country.
Mm-mm. See? but you can do that in the United States. You know that ought to tell you what a great country this is, even though I don't agree with all that protesting and everything, but that right there should be a testament to how great this country is, because you can't go to China or some of these other countries and do some of the mess that they try to get away with now.
Yeah, like that one hammer thrower, and she's protesting.
Gwen Berry.
Gwen Berry. Program. Yeah, then she came in third and went to a ceremonial thing and said she was ambushed when she had to listen to the American National Anthem. Well, dumb idiot. First, the girl that came in first was from the U.S. What else they going to play?
Yeah.
Something about Lil Wayne?
I mean, really. And you're 32 years old, and you don't understand that they always play the National Anthem? You don't understand that by now.
Yeah. And the lady, the young woman that won women's wrestling, Miss Mensa, she's a Ghanaian. She's not no native black American.
Yeah.
And she said she was so excited to be able to be able to compete and compete on the United States team.
Yeah, she considered it a privilege to represent the U.S.
She said it was a privilege. She was in tears. Privilege to represent the United States.
Certainly did.
And here come your old, culture bandits want to claim her as black American. The woman is a Ghanaian American.
Yeah.
I'm trying to steal her identity. Same thing with the lady, the young lady down there in Louisiana, down here right outside of New Orleans. She's not native black American. She was a Nigerian, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Y'all, they want to claim her because she was a national spelling bee championship.
Yeah.
If you look, read, and see, what was her name?
What was her name? She had
basketball
she had
was a passion of hers.
Yeah, she. Matter of fact, she's in the Guinness Book of World Records for, you know, how many basketballs she bounced and everything and stuff like that. But she had one of them unusual, nice type names. I was like, man, that's one of the best names I've heard since Quavanjane Wallace. You know, I was like, that's a nice name. I think her last name was Avant Garde. I think that was her last name.
It was Avant.
She was the first black. Yeah. And they said
she's Ghanaian American. And you look at, they talked about the routine that her father took her through in order to train her and to prepare her.
15,000 words a day.
Yeah. Now, what normal kid is going to train like that unless they... And then you look at the competition that she was up against. They was Indian Americans.
Yeah, and they learn from the time they are toddlers. She only learned in a few years. That's the thing. And see that? And when I hear stories like this, I'm like, so where is the white privilege? We do the same thing white folks do. We get the same results. Where is it, you know?
Man, that old stuff about white supremacy and white supremacy is a bunch of malarkey. The way you describe it. But anyway, I'm going to let you go, man. I really appreciate the opportunity. I'm happy that your wife is doing fine. And
she's good. And we need to send out an APB for Sarge.
Yeah, I wonder where he's at, too. But anyway, I'll talk to you next week. You be safe.
All right, you do the same thing. God willing, you'll have another show.
There you go. Bye-bye.
All right, now. Well, folks, there we go. I'm a little bit into the archives right now, but God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only next weekend, and you all get prepared for that and everything. And until the next time, I'll see you guys on the rebound. You all take care of yourselves. Have a good Saturday. Stay safe out there.